just hit my button so they can hear me doing this. Okay, got that going. Okay, a couple ground rules. I have everybody's phones muted, and so if you try to ask me something, you won't be able to at this point because I can't hear you, nobody else can hear you. And question and answers, we're going to hold that till the very end. So first, to start off, I just want to say a big thank you to everybody who listened in on last week's teleconference. We do teleconferences often, but usually in smaller settings, and we had no idea that we were going to blow through a number to where we had people not being able to log in last week and listen to this teleconference. So thank you for your patience. Thank you for all those who were able to mute your phones last week. And again, just apologize for those of you who couldn't get in last week. If you would have tried back a couple more times, you would have eventually gotten in, because we finally got the ceiling on the teleconference listed, lifted up quite a bit for us. So hopefully we're able to get everybody in here today. We should have a very high ceiling. And I got everybody muted, as I said earlier. What I'm going to do is, when I'm done going through my material, I'm going to unmute everybody. But then it's going to be a little bit of a free-for-all. So we've got lots of folks on this phone, so I just ask to please be aware of your noise around you. And if you can mute your phone, please do so, even though I've muted you. To unmute your phone to ask your question, we're going to be able to hear your background noise. So I just want to be respectful of everybody so they can hear your question and they can all hear the answers at the same time. So just watch that noise at that time. All right, so lessons learned from last week's teleconference, just because our numbers were way high, and I think today is going to be even higher than last week. We were able to get the technology thing cleaned up and got to work with the teleconference company, so we just don't have that same problems duplicated. So having said that, again, I want to thank you, everybody, over the last 2 and 3 weeks since we've been out of the stock market, for all the texts, your emails, your phone calls. I'm thanking you for thanking us. I'm thanking you for all the praise that you've been giving us, the compliments that we are doing what you would expect us to do and actually be a financial advisor and actually be managing your money, not just sell you investments and collect fees and do nothing. As you know, most financial advisors, that's kind of how the industry is. So we are always wanting to be proactive. So we just want to say thank you for all of you who went out of your way to say thank you to us. I can't tell you how much that meant to all of us in our office to hear those. And we do share all those stories, you know, in our office. Have a lot of data here today, so I'm going to do my best to try to get through this. Some of it's just facts I'm going to be able to tell you, and some of them I have to read you a little bit of stuff that I have here. Some of this is from the email that I sent on Monday, but I also have quite a bit more than just the Monday email. All right, so last Monday. So we're talking here on Wednesday. I'm going to go through last Monday's week. Last Monday, I'm going to talk about the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Monday was up, down a negative 3. Tuesday, a positive 11. Wednesday, a positive 2. Thursday, a positive 6. Friday, negative 4. Monday this week, a positive 3. Tuesday, a negative 1. So you can see over the last, let's say, 3 trading days, Friday, Monday, and yesterday, we've had a lot, let's say, lower trading volume, a little bit less volatility. Obviously, that's a good sign. Some tidbits. Last week, stock market jumped up 12.84% last week alone, following the week before that being negative 17.3%. That's a big drop down and a big gain up. President Trump has pushed back the stay-at-home order now to April 30th. It went from being a one-month kind of stay-at-home martial law-like environment to now a month and a half. And that's likely to be pushed back even more, if necessary, as they get closer to that time and they need to keep us home even longer. The number of coronaviruses are increasing while the number of medical professionals are decreasing, because there's a lot of medical professionals out there getting the coronavirus while they're trying to help and serve all of us that have that. Some of those are still getting contacted with that and or contracted with that, and therefore the medical profession is going down. I want to give you some quotes from last night's speech that President Trump gave, and I'm going to actually read this so you can actually kind of hear his words and you can really hear his tone in this. He says, "We're giving massive amounts of medical equipment and supplies to 50 states. We are also holding back quite a bit. We have almost 10,000 ventilators that are ready to go, but we're going to hold them back because a surge is coming, and it's coming pretty strong. And we want to be immediately able to move it into place." So he's saying a surge is coming, and it's coming pretty strong. "But we have a good supply of ventilators, and we're ready to go," Trump added. "We're all ready. The trucks are ready. We're ready. Everything is ready to go," he says. "But this is going to be a hell of a bad 2 weeks. It's going to be a very bad, maybe even 3 weeks. This is going to be 3 weeks like we have never seen before. we're going to go through a very tough 2 weeks, literally like in three or four sentences. He just keeps referencing how bad it's going to get, as if we haven't even come close to seeing the bad stuff just yet. And basically just makes you wonder what all the government knows, more specifics than what they're necessarily telling us in the news. But more stuff is coming. He says, I think a lot of this, a lot of us are predicting, after have studied this so hard, that we're going to start to see some real light at the end of the tunnel, but this is going to be a very, very painful 2 weeks. Deaths are at 3,800 in the U.S., 3,800 in the U.S., but expected to go to 100,000 up to 240,000 just in the next 2 to maybe 3 weeks. That's a massive jump, and obviously that's what he's referring to, is real numbers are going to come out about real deaths, not projected deaths, but actual deaths from this coming in the next couple of weeks. The tone of his message last night was actually very different from normal. You know, Trump has a way of talking very optimistically, a little bit like a salesperson, just very optimistic tone, lots of positive words. And in last night's message, he had definitely a very somber tone as this stuff kind of becomes more real. And it was pretty evident that his tone quite, you know, changed quite a bit. Now, a lot of you guys, you know, you get your information from the news. News in the morning, news in the afternoon, news at night. All day news. I don't know about you, but I sometimes feel addicted to this stuff, that I come home and it's just all coronavirus on TV all night long. As if I don't see it enough all day at the office on the TVs in our office, I still have to go home and watch it more, and I literally have to focus on it. I got to change the channel to something else. So you guys get your news from the news. We get a lot of our news from analysts and economists. And I want to kind of give you some information that we've got just this week from some of the major investment companies that we work with. 3.3 million have filed for unemployment last week. Originally, it was going to be a toss-up whether or not GDP was going to be up or down the first quarter, as I reported last week, but now they're starting to think that the first quarter is going to be negative. The sad thing is we won't actually know first quarter numbers until about 8:30 April 29th. It literally takes an entire full month of April before we have accumulated all the data for them to put out as to what the GDP was for the first quarter. So a very, very strong likelihood that the first quarter is going to be negative. GDP is going to go down drastically in the second quarter, you know, quite a bit. And they're forecasting GDP to go down in the third quarter. If that's the case, that's two, if not three, quarters in a row of negative GDP, and it takes two quarters in a row to be officially in the R word, recession. This is one of my favorite quotes. It's a terrible quote, but this was very easy to understand. The economy turned off like a switch, but it's going to turn back on like a dimmer switch. It turned off very quickly, and it's going to come back on very slowly. The stock market may move quickly up and down, but the economy moves very slow. And in this case, a drastic, I don't know how else to say it, a martial law-like environment, a stay-at-home order is how the government has basically just kind of shut things down. Also, quality fixed income is still very necessary. What that means is bonds. They're saying in this stock market crazy environment, you want to have a healthy dosage of bonds, which of course we are all in bonds right now. The Federal Reserve is adding to that liquidity to high quality fixed income markets, basically meaning that the Federal Reserve is looking to just add money here through this CARES program, CARES, C-A-R-E-S, Coronavirus Aid Relief Economic Security Act. And basically the Fed is looking to buy maybe up to 20 to 25% of investment grade bonds, which is good conservative bonds. They're looking to buy that much bonds out there and actually own corporate bonds to make sure that the bond market stays strong and that the economy continues to be moving. They also say that the market has priced in the recession last week, which kind of helped with the big drop in the volatility. We're not seeing the 2,000 and 3,000 point up and down days. We're now seeing hundreds of point days and maybe even 1,000 point days. But that massive volatility that we were having for weeks has kind of slowed down, which is good, and that's probably because of the enthusiasm of the stimulus package that's coming out. But yet, a lot of the real stuff we haven't seen yet, again with the deaths and the effect on the economy with people not working, that sort of stuff. There's an extra $600 a week in the unemployment benefits, and what they're saying is that unemployment benefits may end up being higher than for those who have working wages for lower income people. So in other words, lower income people, their job, whatever it pays, they actually might stand a chance to make a little bit more money through unemployment than what they were getting before. According to Johns Hopkins, the U.S. has overtaken China when it comes to the number of reported coronavirus cases. here in Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas has announced 2 days ago on March 30th that the city's health department has issued over 200 letters to local businesses that they have not complied with the stay-at-home order because they're not essential, because they're trying to get, obviously, the stop of the spread of the coronavirus. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly said that the state went from having 1,800 unemployment claims on an average in a week to the beginning of the month being now over 60,000 this last weekend. We went from 1,800 a week to 60,000 just last weekend. And she's encouraging people who want to file for unemployment to actually do so online. Governor Kelly also introduced Executive Order 20-17, which is kind of like a temporary waived order where the 1 week waiting period requirement for unemployment has now been removed, and that recipients that are gonna be receiving unemployment benefits are not gonna have to necessarily go out there and search for work because there's very little work out there and very little people that are hiring. So the requirements to collect unemployment having a 1 week delay, plus you have to go out and prove that you're on the job search, that has been waived for right now. Small business owners, there's gonna be some loans out there, part of this $2 trillion stimulus package. Some of my understandings on this is that small business owners, which is like sole proprietors, freelance workers, 1099 kind of people, business owners who have less than 500 employees can file for this so-called loan. And parts of the stuff that I read, because again, this applies to me too as a business owner, is that that's a, like a forgiven loan. You don't actually have to pay that back as long as it's used for qualified expenses. Again, not an expert on this. I'm reading this as much as we can and trying to learn more about it ourselves. So we definitely recommend all of our business owners and self-employed people that are out there to do your research on this, and there might be some opportunity there for some financial relief for you. John Vales of BNY Mellon, he said he's not convinced that the markets have reached its bottom. He points out that recent bear markets had plenty of powerful rallies, referring to 3 days last week. Last week we had three good days that instantly just gave people optimism, and it was really all centered around the stimulus package, and so the market bounced up three good days. Hence, we had a really good week last week, but not nearly enough to offset the bad week before that and all the previous other weeks before that. The coronavirus, and the, let's see here, infection in the United States is still growing in numbers, and he says we're not even close to the peak of that curve yet. And I think what he's saying is pretty much what I think President Trump was trying to say last night. And yet he can argue that the worst is still yet to come on the public health front. And there's definitely going to be much more pain out there for businesses and employees as this continues to go on. Affinity, from our perspective, we're worried about the lagging effect that the economy is going to experience even after the coronavirus gets contained and is no longer growing in numbers. Everything economic is a lagging effect. So in other words, like before you can get to steps 4, 5, and 6, you have to go through steps 1, 2, and 3. And the economy and lots of things with the economy is automatically going to be steps 4, 5, and 6. So right now we're kind of seeing steps 1, 2, and 3, and these things have to happen to have this negative effect on the economy. And as we stated last week, in the teleconference last week, is trying to say in these emails as well, we don't necessarily see in this market being a V-shaped, which we've already kind of proven that. V-shaped means it goes down very sharply, comes up very sharply. We also don't think it's going to be a U, which so far we've also proven that to be correct. A U-shape is where it goes down pretty sharply, stays down for a while, and then comes back up. We actually think this is going to be more like a triple, maybe quadruple shaped W, where it goes down, comes up, goes down, comes up, goes down, comes up. And when it comes up, it's not going to come up nearly as much as what the downs are. It's just short ups like what you'd find in a W. So there's opportunities there for us to try to take advantage of those situations. But give you an example, the market basically dropped 35%, which would be, let's call it, the first leg of the W. And then we had a nice recovery last week where the market came back up last week, 12% last week. So the up, you know, coming up 12% from a drop of 35%, that's just a little up. And now we're starting to see that little down come again. We're also kind of viewing this here at Affinity that we think this is going to be a 6 to 10 month cycle. And of course, we don't have a crystal ball better than you or anybody else does. But what we're basically saying is this isn't going to be over anytime soon. Yet we also don't see this being like a 2001 or a 2008 where the drops were 18 months consecutively, basically from the top to bottom. It was like 18 months of drop, drop, drop. You know, a few little short rallies in there, but basically drop, drop, drop for 18 months. We don't think this is going to be an 18 month thing because this has all been centered around a virus. And once this virus is snuffed out and contained, then hopefully the stock market will recover. People go back to work. People go back to making money, spending money, kind of get the economy going. You get the $2 trillion stimulus package in there as well. So again, not going to be a quick thing. We definitely don't see this happening in weeks or even a couple months. We're definitely seeing the effects of this could be lasting 6 to 10 months. The Dow last week, the Dow staged its best week in 80 years, all pretty much due to the historic, you know, pass of this $2 trillion stimulus package. The Dow was up 12.8% last week. It's the best one-week gain we've had in the stock market since 1938. However, Wall Street experts are cautioning that this is not a sustained rally and warning investors to prepare for what could be a very bumpy road ahead. March 27th, let's see, Goldman Sachs U.S. Chief Equity Strategist David Costner wrote that bear markets are often punctuated by sharp balances before resuming their downward trajectory. He pointed out and gave an example of this back in 2008. That drop was October of 07 through March 9th of 09, 18 months. People just call it 2008 because it was the entire year of 08, but it was really that 12 months plus 3 months of 2007 and 3 months of 2009. But back then, you guys can remember what we call today the CARES Act. Back then, they called it TARP, T-A-R-P, which stands for Troubled Assets Relief Program. And that was $800 billion that the government implemented a stimulus package to kind of jumpstart and help fix things, which it did over time. But what this David Costner is saying here, this chief strategist here on the equity markets, was saying that TARP program was rolled out in October of 08. So that was 12 months into the 18-month cycle of going down, October of 08. And since October of 08, there was six times where the stock market had nice rallies, several days, maybe in a week or two, where the stock market bounced up 9% or more. Six different times it went up 9% or more. But that was in October of 2008 when that TARP program was released, and then after that we had these nice little rallies. But the bottom of the market wasn't even seen until March 9th of 09, 6 months later. So my point there is, even though the TARP program came out, which back then we called that a stimulus package, and it gave some relief and kind of gave some nice little rallies, those rallies were, let's call them a little bit of phantom rallies. They weren't real rallies to end the stock market, you know, going down. It was just little bumps up because it continued to go down, down, down. And what we're saying is that might look like what we're in right now. We got this $2 trillion stimulus package, and we had a nice little rally for 3 days last week. But then, you know, here we are Tuesday, and then today, back down again. So we're probably going to see these short little rallies, and it's very normal to see these short little rallies. And these, when I say short little rallies, you know, these may be several days to maybe even be a week or two. And for us, we're going to look at that. That's opportunities for us to do maybe things for our portfolios. All right, so the $2 million stimulus package. Let me kind of give you some of our interpretations, and there's tons of stuff on this. I'm just going to hit kind of a few headlines, and obviously, again, we're going to recommend that you go out and do your research on this, on how this would affect you. Americans, single Americans under $75,000 a year in income will get a $1,200 check, and if you're married, making under $150,000 of household income, there's $2,400 per couple coming in, $500 per child. Here's a couple key that affects my industry specifically. The 10% penalty for you to take a withdrawal from your retirement accounts, like your IRAs and 401ks and other retirement accounts like that, the 10% penalty for people under age 59 and a half are gonna be waived. So in other words, folks who need to tap into their accounts to get to some money to bridge the gap because they're having some financial difficulties due to all this, can take a withdrawal and pay their taxes, but at least avoid the 10% penalty. They're also saying that the taxes that you incur from this, they're gonna allow you to take that withdrawal and spread out the taxes on that withdrawal for 3 years. I want to be really clear here. I'm not talking about Roth conversions. I'm talking about a withdrawal that you take from your IRAs and 401ks so that you can spend the money to pay your bills and do those sort of things, that you can take it out without penalty, but also potentially spread that tax out over 3 years. Again, consult your tax professional on this. 401k loans for people who still are working and have jobs with 401ks, the loan limit has increased from $50,000 to $100,000, and required minimum distribution. This is typically known for people, the rule used to be 70 and a half, now it's age 72. So people over age 72 are required to take withdrawals from their retirement accounts to avoid a 50% penalty because the IRS wants us to take withdrawals and pay taxes on this money. The RMD rules have been waived for 2020. So everybody who has an RMD this year is not going to have to take the RMD this year. And that also applies to people under 72 who may have inherited, let's say like a family member's IRA or a family member's retirement accounts, and you too are having RMD requirement withdrawals on that account. RMDs across the board are being waived in 2020. The federal tax deadline has moved from April 15th, as it normally is, to July 15th. Contributions for 2019, if you want to still contribute to your retirement accounts for 2019, that has also been moved back to July the 15th. And again, just I want to really recommend here, I know there's a lot of tax people that are out there who are working from home, some are still in the office working, but tax-related questions, we just definitely recommend that you just ask the questions to them and how this affects you and how you might be able to take advantage of some things. So seek out those professionals. Opportunities. Opportunities from Affinity here. Let me see here. I had a piece. There we go. Here it is. Opportunities. Roth conversions. Okay, Roth conversions is a big deal right now. I just want to kind of reference this. A lot of you do Roth conversions. We always recommend that. Pay a little tax today on doing a conversion so that your money can grow compound tax-free in a Roth IRA. Once it's in the Roth, it'll grow tax-free. You can withdraw it tax-free. It'll go to your beneficiaries tax-free. And there's no RMD rules on a Roth IRA. And with the market being down right now so much that it is, it's actually a super good time to do a conversion. And so we're telling people, this is an opportunity right now to do your conversions now. Because moving money from your IRA to the Roth, whether you do it now or at the end of the year, it's going to be the same tax amount. But at least you'll have more money in your Roth IRA ready to go. And as the market starts to climb back up and starts to grow, you will have more money already in position in that Roth IRA to grow for you in the Roth and grow for you tax-free. With the RMD rules being waived, so for folks who are over 72, who stopped doing Roth conversions because of the RMD rules, for you, this is a good opportunity for you to just say, hey, I want to do a Roth conversion right now myself because I get to skip this year's RMD. So we highly encourage the Roth conversions right now. Let's see here. Making sure I'm going through all my notes here. Annuity transfers. We have a lot of clients that have annuities. Guaranteed safe annuities. Most of the annuities our clients have are what's called an indexed annuity. Most indexed annuities give you access to 10% of the value of the account without any kind of a penalty. And for those of you who have annuities that are specifically IRA type of annuities, you can do an IRA to IRA transfer from your indexed annuity over to your brokerage account. And as long as it's going from IRA to IRA, it's not taxed. And as long as you do it within that 10% of the annuity value, there's no penalties for the insurance company. You can move it over into your brokerage account. And the goal behind doing that is I'm going to have a little bit more money in my brokerage account ready to go. So when Affinity wants to invest my money, and the market's ready to climb, I have more money to grow in my brokerage accounts than I would have growing in my annuity. Because as you know, annuities are safe, and they do grow, they just don't grow maybe as rapidly as a brokerage account would. So it just gives you more horsepower to your brokerage account by adding a little bit more money to it. And taking money from a source that doesn't lose money, like the index annuities don't lose money, taking money from that source to add it to the brokerage account is kind of like a win-win. So we're definitely encouraging folks to do that. All right, so another opportunity here. Again, no crystal ball here, and I don't want to make any promises. But again, if this goes, this whole process from the stock market and the whole economy thing, if this whole process is going to be, let's say, like a 6 to 10 month process, you know, we lose, we make in the stock market, we're looking at this as buying and selling opportunities. And as you know, we're not the kind of advisor that takes your money, invests it, charges you a fee, and sits on it and does nothing. We're making our adjustments. Sometimes it's a small adjustment, sometimes it's a big adjustment. We make our adjustments as we deem that's appropriate to the accounts to maximize the growth while minimizing the risk. So we don't want to be day traders, and we don't want to encourage day trading behavior, because day trading is like swinging for a home run every single time. You might hit a couple home runs, but then you're going to have a whole bunch of strikeouts along the way. So what we're wanting to do, and we're looking at, let's just say, part of our plans, not implemented, just we're looking at the data. And maybe over the next 6 to 10 months, we might do some buying and selling opportunities within our portfolios, maybe 2, 3, or 4 times, in what I would like to call cycle trading. So as we kind of get to a bottom of one of the W's, that might be a good time to take some of our money and bonds and buy back into some stocks. And as we kind of reach the next maybe peak of the top side of a W, to go ahead and sell and get back out of that stock and go back into bonds. So then when it goes back down on the next leg of the next W, we can buy back in. So try to sell high, buy low. Maybe do that 2, 3, 4 times over, you know, a 6, 8, 10 month period of time. So not very quickly, not trying to day trade. I'd like to refer to that as cycle trading. And what we're looking at doing for folks, because we're trying to do this and use this as an opportunity to make you guys money, but without putting too much risk in the way, what we're considering doing is everybody's money should be 100% bonds at this point. And we're thinking about taking 50% of your accounts. Now, I'll be clear, 50%, not 100%, take 50% out of the bonds and buy stocks. Now, when I say that, if we do that, then your portfolio at that time will be 50% bonds, 50% stocks, which is, in essence, kind of like a middle-of-the-road risk. So we're definitely not recommending taking all of your money and putting in stocks. We're just looking at taking portions of your money, 50% from bonds to the 50% stocks. Take that 50% stocks, go back to bonds, make the bonds 100%. Maybe take 50% of the bonds back out, go back into some stocks, sell out of that stocks, go back into the bonds and back to 100% bonds. So you're either be cycling from 100% bonds to a 50% bond, 50% stock portfolio. And doing that, we're going to recommend that we're going to do this on only IRAs or Roth IRA type accounts where the transactions won't trigger capital gains. It's strictly on the tax deferred or tax free sort of accounts. That's part of an opportunity that we're looking at. And I say I don't want to make any promises on this because it just depends on the data that we have, the information that comes out from analysts and economists, and how can we use this information to make folks money. And over the last week, I've had numerous phone calls with, you know, quite a few of you that are on this phone call, and just asking your opinion, if I did this with 50% of your money, with just the IRAs and Roth IRA type monies, would this be something that you would want us as your financial advisor to do? And it was unanimous, and it wasn't even a thought. It's like, yes, do that. I know I have a little risk, but I have the opportunity to try to take advantage of a W-shaped market or a couple of W's-shaped market. So that to us is a really nice opportunity that we're looking to do. But again, don't know when. We don't have a plan in place, so please don't ask what's the plan. We don't have that. We don't know that, and we just want to be nimble so we can execute it and then unexecute it. Execute it and then unexecute it as we need to based on what we think is in the best interest of your accounts, because our compensation is tied to your accounts, as you guys know. So we have incentive to grow your money, and we have incentive to protect your money. We do not have incentive to sit on your money and do nothing. So we want to be active. And the last opportunity is really hitting home to me a ton over those last 2 weeks. We have been getting so many referrals from you guys, and I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for those referrals. And it's not from my business standpoint of me saying I want to grow my business and I want referrals. It's just I'm a human being. I'm a Kansas City person, and I want to help my community. And there are just so many people out there that are struggling right now financially. And not only are they struggling financially, they're struggling with all of this emotionally and mentally as well. I have so many stories. I am talking to people that are new people coming to us because referred by you, and they're telling me that they call their financial advisor, and their financial advisor is telling them to hold on, we're going to do nothing, we're going to ride this out. I have people telling me that they haven't even received a phone call from their financial advisor. No emails, no teleconference, no personal phone calls. I got folks who are telling me, I've heard all of these stories like multiple times, they're telling me things like, I call my financial advisor, I get a call back from the administrative person in the office said, I talked with your advisor and they said we're going to hold on and do nothing this time. They don't even get the privilege to even talk to the advisor. A lot of people are going through this. And we're going to be in a serious yo-yo environment for the stock market, which is causing a yo-yo on everybody's emotions. So we look at this as opportunities to ease your stress, ease your anxiety by getting out of the market. We also look at this as an opportunity to how can we make some money by being in bonds for the next 6 to 10 months, with at least 50% to 100% of our money, and then get in some stocks and get out of stocks as we deem appropriate and timely. So I just want to ask you guys, if we had every client give us one solid referral to somebody that they love, somebody that they're close to, a friend, a family member, a coworker, because they've complained, they've told you something about their money and how much money that they're losing, please, as community service, tell them our name. Have them call us, have us call them, we don't care. I just want to say thank you for those referrals, and we want to strongly encourage this. The more people that we can help on the financial end, the better all we can do. And of course, all of us together can stay at home and help our community as well that way. So look out for each other, and you know, and please share our name with them as best as you can. So as I finish up here on all my notes, which let's see here, I've been yapping for about 44 minutes. Reminders, guys can't read your minds. Okay, so my reminder is, if you want to get back into the stock market down the road, in the long term, down the road, you want to get back in the market, you want to get back in at a different level of risk. So for example, let's say one of your accounts was model number 3, and now you're 100% bonds. Well, when we want to get all back in the market, your full, complete, diversified number 3 portfolio, when we're ready to do that, you're going to go back in as number 3. Now, in the meantime, we might go stock bond, like I mentioned earlier. But in the long term, we're going to have your account coded going back into the long term look of this, like the way we got you out. So if you came out of model 2, then you're going to go back into model 2. If you came out of model 3, you're going to go back into model 3. What I'm saying is if you want to get back in the market at a more aggressive model than what you already have, so you want to change your model 3 to a model 4, you just got to call and let us know. That way we can code your account, and when we're ready down the road to get back into the investment side of your long-term diversification portfolio and not the cycle trading I was talking about, we just need to know how to code that. So please give us a call. Also, can't read your mind on Roth conversions. You want to do a Roth conversion and you want to wait till the end of the year, that's fine. It's your prerogative. If you want to take advantage of the market right now with the market being down so much, definitely give us a call. We want to obviously help you with that as well and take care of those Roth conversions. Can't read your mind on that. If you want to go from your IRA annuities over to like IRA brokerage accounts, again, same thing, gotta let us know, gotta call us. Now, keep in mind, usually after a teleconference like this or our emails, we do get flooded with calls. So please don't take offense if we have to call you back, or we have to call you back tomorrow. Everybody will get called back. We just want to make sure that we're hearing everybody, and we are talking pros and cons, and making sure everybody's kind of understanding pros and cons, and that way we can execute your requests and your specifics that you want us to have in your accounts. But other than that, I just want to say thank you for taking time to hear this message. I had more data today than I did last week, but we started late, so it seemed like it went long. So like I've been looking at this, I've been going for about 45 minutes here. So I want to thank everybody for your business. I want to thank you for your trust and Affinity Asset Management. It means a tremendous amount to all of us. We're here for you. I'm personally available to people in the evenings as well as the weekends. During times like this, if you call, I want to call you back, even if it's after hours. If it can wait till the next business day, I will. And if it's something that can't wait, I'm happy to call you after business hours, because we want to put your minds at ease on these things and talk to you right away. But having said that, I wish everybody health. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all of our medical professionals that are out there helping deal with this. And for any of you, or if you know anybody that has been dealing with this coronavirus directly, our thoughts and prayers are out with you guys. So having said that, I'm going to take a second here and unmute my phone. You're going to start to hear noise. You're going to hear some background noise of other people. Again, do your best, please, to mute your phone to minimize it. I'm going to take questions. It's kind of a first come, first serve. You're welcome to stay on, ask question, hear the answer. You're welcome to hang on and listen to other people's questions and answer. I'll do my best to get as many questions answered as possible. And if we don't get your questions answered, don't hesitate to shoot us an email or to talk to us. Oh, good grief. Since I have been talking to you, let's see here, it's 2:35. The market has dropped at least another 600 points since we've been talking. The market was about a negative 400 points when we started, and now it's a negative 1,000 points, 4.5%. Oh, good grief. All right, so I'm going to unmute everybody. Okay, now I think everybody can hear everybody. Thank you again for being on the call. So who wants to go first with a question? And as I ask again, please mute your phones where you can. Anybody got any questions? Go ahead. Okay, I'm sorry. There's clearly somebody on the phone that's talking to somebody else, and I'm terrible. I'm so sorry that you guys have to hear that. That person hasn't muted their phone.
Hold on. Let's do it this way.
How do I?
Here, let's mute. And do it like this. Tell them to do *7.
All right, so Missy's telling me I have muted everybody, If you want to unmute your phone for this teleconference, do me a favor on your phone, hit *7. That will just personally unmute you, and then go ahead and ask your question. So hit *7. If you have a question, I'm going to wait here until I hear questions. Yes, I can. Is this Rich? No, it's non-IRA money, and Rich, that's a good question. It's non-IRA money, so when you take a withdrawal from that kind of an account, it cannot go into an IRA-based account. So you have a non-IRA annuity money. It cannot go into an IRA brokerage. So if you do take a withdrawal from your annuity, it will be taxable income, and it will not be able to go into your IRA. That is an example of not using the annuity. That's correct. It's taxable income, not earned income, so you can't do even an IRA contribution with that, much less conversions or anything else. So that we don't have a lot of clients that have non-qualified annuities, and you're one of them that has that because you're getting some tax savings from it. Just ignore that portion of that for your annuity. That's not going to really apply or be in your best interest, Rich. All right, good question though. All right, who's next? Yes, I can. That's correct, John. Anybody who has required minimum distributions, whether it's your own money because you're over 72, or it's money that you received as an inheritance from somebody else, RMDs have been waived for this year. Now you still can take the withdrawal. There's nothing that says you can't take the withdrawal and pay that tax. It's just you're not required to. And this year they're waiving that, therefore you don't get penalized. Right, so if they start it back up next year, which we assume they will, it'll just be the normal RMD, and they have not said anything like next year they're going to double it up because of this year and next year combined. That's not what they're saying. You'll just start it back up next year and just take next year's RMD. So, and we really can't focus on next year yet because they'll come out at the end of this year or the very, very beginning of next year what rules will change, if any, for next year. So basically all that we're talking about is any rules that have put into place for this year right now. So, but that's a great question, John. True. Sometimes day to day, you're right. You're welcome. Yes, very well. Okay, so I'm not a mortgage expert, but that's a good financial question, Stephanie. I got one of the ladies in my office right now is going through a refinance for this exact reason and got a lower interest rate. I personally have looked into it. I think with the lowering of interest rates that the Federal Reserve did 2 weeks ago hasn't really hit the mortgage companies just yet, and I have a feeling that interest rates are not going to go up anytime soon. So this the ability to refinance, or the idea that I want to refinance, is probably going to be around for a while. And I would say probably give it a little bit more time and continue checking rates, because if the rates are a little bit higher right now, I bet you they'll probably come down with banks over time. I got a good friend of mine who's like second in charge of a major bank here in Kansas City, and he's telling me about the struggles that they're having with people losing jobs and how this is affecting the banks because of foreclosure and this kind of stuff. So we think there's still going to be plenty of wiggle room for banks to possibly lower those interest rates. So definitely do it. If on the subject of refinancing a house, I just want to say this to everybody. If you're thinking about refinancing, that's awesome. But if you're young enough and you're still working, and you're one of those people that if you've been laid off, it's going to be hard for you to refinance, obviously. If you think your job is going to lay you off because of all this, then you might want to jump on this refinance right away. Well, so that you can qualify using your current job's income as qualifications. Retirees don't really have this problem on refinancing because they're retired and they have all their income and their assets kind of already saved. So I'm giving you some extra information on refinance, but yeah, Stephanie, I would just say continue giving it more time and see how it pans out, because I know myself, I'm going to continue looking at interest rate, looking at rates to lower my mortgage as well. Good question. Thank you. Yes, Jim, very well. Okay, that's a great area, Jim. We don't have the answer to that. Where this really only applies, where your question is, I want to take a withdrawal from my IRAs, I'm under 59 and a half, I want to do a conversion over the Roth IRA, and I don't have extra money set aside to pay those taxes, so I want to do the tax withholding from that Roth conversion itself. So in other words, if I take $50,000 out of my IRA, and I set aside $10,000 for tax, and I put $40,000 into my Roth, normally that $10,000 you set aside for tax would get penalized also if you're under 59 and a half. So we would tell people, take $50,000 out of the IRA, put $50,000 into the Roth, the $10,000 that you owe in tax, pay it from an outside source, one of your other investment accounts with me that's not retirement related, or like a bank account or something like that. I have not heard if you can take a withdrawal and avoid the 10% penalty so that you can do a conversion with that. I would honestly tell you, I think that applies, because a withdrawal is a withdrawal, and I don't know that they have a way to police how you use that money. I don't know that they can monitor that, but that's a gray area that I don't know the answer to that, and that does not apply to a lot of folks out there, but that's a good question, and I would say double check with your accountant on that question and see if they might be able to give you some specific clarity on that. And it is correct, and my assumption is right, what you're asking, and you can do that, then take advantage of it. That's, you know, do a bigger Roth conversion. Take advantage of it. Good question, Jim. Anybody else? Remember, if you can hear me, and we've muted you, to unmute your phone, you need to hit *7 if you have a question. So hit *7 on your phone if you want to ask me anything. Okay. Hey, Bill. You said this is Bill, right? Okay, so Bill, good question. That's why I tried to mention earlier, we don't have a plan for this, because we have to kind of wait and see what the market gives us, wait and see what economists and analysts are saying. We have to kind of see a little bit of trend, a little bit of pattern here. As we've been able to kind of see things already because of announcements and things, you can easily anticipate what's going to happen afterwards. So we don't want to try to do this on little itty-bitty swings. But I'll give an example last week. The market was up 12% last week, and that's even two of the 5 days were negative, and Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday were positive, and the three positive days compared to the two negative days is still up 12%. That isn't little bitty. And if we can jump in and capitalize on some of that and make 4, 5, 6, 7, 8% return in short period of time and then get back out, man, we want to do that. But what we don't want to do is try to be too quick, too trigger happy, because I don't want to be home run swinging, because home run swinging is going to cause way more strikeouts than there is home runs. So again, try to cycle it. We want to try to cycle trade this a little bit. But if we get, let's say, we get to the end of this year and we only did this once, well, it's one is still better than none. And one is because the data was obvious to take advantage of it. And if there's not enough data that's obvious, and again, keep in mind, we don't have a crystal ball here. But if the data is enough obvious that we say, okay, we think that because of this, the market's going to trend up for a little bit, maybe not a ton, but up for a little bit, let's take advantage. If we think because of this, the market's going to trend down and we can take advantage of it a different way, then that's what we're going to do. So I just want you to know that we want to be extremely prudent, err on the side of caution, not err on the side of being sloppy and aggressive. Our goal is if we can just make a little extra money in these opportunities, more so than just sitting in bonds, then I want to do that. But I just don't want to be, I don't want to be arrogant, and I don't want to be, you know, misrepresenting your intentions with your money. We want to do the right thing for you guys. So that's a good question, but a little bit of a crystal ball question. Thank you, Bill. Anybody else have anything else for me? Okay, so Mark and Cindy, so if you have an indexed annuity, again, I don't have all your accounts here in front of me while I'm talking this conference call. For folks who have an indexed annuity, that is a place of safety where that money can't go down in the stock market. To take 10% out, which most annuities allow 10%, there's a few annuities that are due 7%, but all annuities pretty much allow people to take a little bit of money every year out of the annuity and do whatever you want with it. You can put it into another account or spend it or whatever, and that little bit of money is to get out without any penalties from that annuity. So let's just call it 10%, for example. If you have a $100,000 annuity, it's worth $100,000, and 10% of that means I can transfer $10,000 out of that annuity over to my brokerage account. And if I do that, the idea is that I have $10,000 more now in my brokerage account, sitting there waiting to get invested, because when the market goes back up, now I'm gonna have $10,000 more in my brokerage accounts, able to capitalize on the upswing in the market, because a brokerage account will grow faster than an annuity will, versus leaving that extra $10,000 in the annuity, because when the market goes up, the annuity will go up, it just won't go up nearly as great as what a brokerage account will. So moving money from a brokerage to, from an annuity to a brokerage, gives us that ability to give you a little bit more money infused into the account for more horsepower to grow for you without taking it from a place of loss or taking it from a place of negative growth of some sorts. We're just saying, from our perspective, we recommend people do this that have indexed annuities, not variable annuities specifically, and indexed annuities that are IRAs, because you can go from an IRA indexed annuity over to an IRA brokerage account and not be triggered on any taxes. All we're doing is just moving 10% money over to get an infusion of cash into that account. So that's what we're saying there. Not to be applied for non-qualified accounts or non-IRA accounts like Rich asked a few minutes ago. That help you, Cindy? You're welcome. No problem asking questions and asking for clarification. No problem. Anybody else have anything for me? Well, again, I want to thank everybody for being on this phone call here today. I'm going to tell you, I have an amazing rock star team behind me here. We spend a lot of money on brilliant people. We spend a lot of money on amazing technology. And I'm very, very proud of my team, and I'm very, very proud of what we've done. And we look at this opportunity as, oh, crap, this is scary for all of us. And none of us knows what's going to happen with all this. But we can give you some peace of mind that you have an amazing group of people behind you who really have your best interest and your hard-earned money saved best interest in mind at all times here. We don't want to be that advisor that does nothing and continues to give you anxiety. So thank you again so much for all your time today. I hope all of you are safe. We wish you health, and watch for our Monday emails and our Wednesday teleconferences. Take care, everybody. Have a good rest of your day.